If you'd like, you could be opening your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be going back to Nehemiah, one of the Old Testament historic books. Nehemiah chapter 2 will be the first place we go to this morning. As has been mentioned, we do have visitors with us, and we are thankful that you're here with us. If you have any questions about us, what we do, what we practice, please feel free afterward to talk to one of us. We'd be more than happy to talk to you about the Word of God, because that is really the focus of who we are and our identity. We have set for our theme for this year of 2022 a passage in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18. And this, of course, is in the historic context of Nehemiah. And we have in previous lessons looked at the example here of Nehemiah, where he hears about the reproach of the people of Jerusalem, and he does something about it. He prays to God. He travels, journeys several hundred miles, and there he begins the process of rebuilding this wall with the people. It was a mark of identity for the people. It was important for protection for the city of Jerusalem. So in 52 days, the people put their heads together and began to work, and they accomplished building this wall around Jerusalem in a very short period of time. Now, we as the Church of the Lord are not a physical city, a physical nation. We are a spiritual nation. And so our wall, we use that metaphor, is the truth. That truth identifies who we are. That truth is a protection for us. And the building of that wall is not a 52-day process. It's a lifetime. It's from the time that the church was established until Jesus returns again. We are going to be putting stone upon stone. We're going to be fortifying. We're going to be making sure that it is fortified in order for us to have the protection that we have. The passage, the verse that we have actually taken our theme from is not verse 17 of chapter 2, where Nehemiah says, "Let us build, let us rise up and build." We have taken it from verse 18, what the people said in response, where they said, "Let us rise up together and build." Then they set their hands to do this good work. Yes, we need leaders. We need someone to stand up and say, here is a job needs to be done, and let's do that job. But that's not our focus. Our focus for the year is us. All of us. Pitching in together whatever we can in order for the work of the church to continue to prosper. As you note, the plurality of this, then they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do plural, 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 this singular, this good work. That is our goal. That is the example we want to draw on as we look at our work together. Because, no, with all deference to them, that a good work, we have a greater work. Because we are the spiritual kingdom. We are the fulfillment of the aspirations, the hopes of God. We are the body of Christ. We are the church of the Lord. We are the kingdom of heaven. And it is therefore important for us to learn this concept of, and what I would like for us in our lesson to focus on, this concept of together. We are going to accomplish this together. And I'd like to make four observations and then make a practical application by talking about something that you may have noticed in the vestibule as you walked in, made a modification to the wall. But we'll save that to the end. But first, four observations. If we are going to be able to do something together, it means that each person must contribute. Now you might say, well, aren't you contradicting your terms? You're talking about together, and now you're talking about the individual. I thought you were talking about together. Well, for us to have it together, we got to have individuals. Each individual in the group must participate, must contribute to that work, or together doesn't happen. Here in the book of Nehemiah, in the third chapter, when they actually begin to implement their desire to rebuild this wall, it says in verse 1, then Eliashib, the high priest, interesting that the high priest, who really should have been and was a leader among the people, he is the first listed. He takes action. He begins the movement of rebuilding this wall. Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and built a sheep gate, and they consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it, then as far as the Tower of Hananel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zachor, the son of Imri, built. Also the sons of Heshanah built the fish gate, and they laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. Next to them was Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Cuz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Ban, made repairs. And we could go on through the rest of this chapter, but I'll note 73 individual names are listed in this process. They do it together, but it comes down to individuals participating. And not only 73 individual names are listed, but also several groups of people, like the priests and those from Benjamin and several other groups of individuals are listed. I think it's significant to note that God knew and in fact recorded individuals' names. Now, why did he do that? Did he do that because he wanted these individuals to be pompous and say, hey, I'm in the Bible. I did such a great work that I deserve glory because I am going to be read generation after generation, year after year, century after century, until the end of time. Wow, that is quite a stamp of approval that these individuals have to have their name, their individual names placed within this book. No, I don't believe that it was so that they could gloat and glory in themselves. They did not accomplish anything independently. It was not their individual accomplishment. It was their accomplishment together. But in this process of them accomplishing it together, it was absolutely necessary that individuals got their hands dirty, that all of the individuals got their hands dirty in this process of rebuilding this wall. Now, if we go to the New Testament, we switch figures from the wall to the body, which is often used in the New Testament to refer to the people of God. But he goes in Romans chapter 12 to talk about how we relate to one another and the work that we are to do. And I want you to notice how the individual is emphasized within the concept of the body, of the whole. He says in verse 3, Romans chapter 12, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God dealt to each one a measure of faith. That's important of all generations. We should not get pompous and glorify in how great we are. No, it's not about us. It's not about me. You put that singular. It's not about the individual. It's about the group. But for that group to be powerful, each individual must contribute its part. We continue in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Yes, we each are going to be given different gifts, different opportunities, different talents in our using together those in the work of the Lord, but each one of those is to be contributed in order for the work of the Lord to be accomplished. We pull all of those together to be one to one body. Now, sometimes you might sit back and maybe even complain. Why aren't we doing anything? Why aren't we? Well, remember that we comes down to me. I first need to ask the question, what am I doing for the work of the church here at Jordan Park? You know, in the book of Revelation, the second, third chapter, we find that Jesus writes the seven churches of Asia. And it is interesting, and I think significant, that he begins every letter with exactly the same words. After the introduction to the letter in Revelation chapter 2, for example, in verse 2, he says, I know your works. When he's writing to the church at Smyrna, he says in verse 9, I know your works. When he writes to the church at Pergamos in verse 13, I know your works. When he's writing to the church at Thyatira in verse 19, I know your works. When he's writing to the church at Sardis in verse verse 1, in the middle of verse 1, I know your works. To the church at Philadelphia in verse 8, I know your works. To the church at Laodicea in verse 15, I know your works. To the church at Jordan Park, Jesus could very easily write, I know your works. But it is interesting and I think significant that Jesus does not say, I know y'all's works. Well, he wasn't from the South. He's not saying, I know you guys' works either. It's not in the plural. It's in the singular. I know your singular works, plural. Jesus is looking at the churches, not as individuals. Now, obviously, the Bible has a great deal of responsibility placed upon individuals, that we as individuals in our own lives in various ways need to live in harmony with the will of God. But when he's looking at the church, he's not looking at individuals, he's looking at one. I know your works. Now that might be broken down to individual actions within that, but it all pulls together to one. Each individual is to contribute. Now, I think one of the disadvantages of prosperity is the temptation to institutionalize religion. Now, what I mean by that is that sometimes we sit back and say, you know, there's a work that needs to be done. We need to organize a group, we need an institution, and we need to hire people to get that done. And this work over here, we need to start some institute, start some organization, and we need to hire somebody to get that done. That's not the biblical pattern. The big biblical pattern is, I'm a member, you're a member, we're members. Each of us has a responsibility to do the work of God in this place. Each person contributes, and each contribution is valuable. Going back to the book of Nehemiah in the third chapter, we find that it is the work that they are doing together that is connected to each other. If you look at chapter 3 and verse 2 of Nehemiah, it begins with next to Eliashib, and then it says next to them. And then it says in verse 4, and next to them. And verse 5, and next to them. And verse 7, next to them. And verse 8, next to him. And verse 9, next to them. You see the pattern here. next to, after. Each one was connected to the next so that combined together, there was a cohesion there. What would happen if around this city you had wall hole? That wall's not going to work. Every single stone that was laid in the building of this wall was essential for it to be a wall. They were all next to each other, putting those parts together so that it could all equal one. And once again, we find that there are individuals, unfortunately, in verse 5, next to them the Tekoites made repairs, but interestingly, but their nobles did not put their shoulder to the work of the Lord. Could you imagine people standing off with their noses in the air saying, yeah, you do the work and I'll organize it. You do the work and I'll tell you what to do. Well, unfortunately, perhaps we can. The nobles would not get their hands dirty. But these Tekoites, notice in the same chapter here, and we'll jump down to verse 27, they did work in this one particular spot. And then in verse 27, after them, Tekoites repaired another section. Maybe the people, that their nobles wouldn't do any work, but they would do the work. Maybe they felt bad because their nobles weren't working, so they felt like they had to do additional work. And there are a couple of other instances here where people did another section, not just the section that was in some, many times in front of their house. In verse 20, it says, after Baruch, the son of Zabai, diligently repaired the other section from the buttress door and so on. Some of the individuals, I'm sure, struggled to do this work, and other individuals were very diligent, were on fire as they did this work. And so as they were all contributing to the one work, every part of that was important and necessary. We jump to the New Testament to find a parallel and application to ourselves. And we jump once again in our metaphor to the body. And the Apostle Paul, I think, is trying to help us to understand the value of each member within the body of Christ. When he says, and we'll pick up our reading here in chapter 12 and verse 14, where he says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were the eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The first thing that the Apostle Paul, the point that he makes, is you cannot depreciate yourself. You cannot say, since I don't have the talent of brother so-and-so, since I don't have the opportunities of sister so-and-so, I am not therefore of any value. I am not part of the body. Apostle Paul says we are all going to have different talents. We are all different members of the body. Do not devalue yourself. You have a part in that process. But then he twists that around to the opposite. We continue in verse 21 when he says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part that lacks it, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now he brings it all to a climax. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So not only can I am not to say, since I am not another member and do not have their talents, I am not of the body. Neither am I to say the opposite. Since you can't do what I can do, I don't need you. All I need is myself. I am a man on my own island, and I don't need any other member within my church because I am sufficient to do all. The Apostle Paul says that's ridiculous. That's not a body. A body is a group of individual members who have each a contribution to make, and all of those contributions are necessary for there to be a whole. Whatever it is that God has blessed you with, whatever talent you have, whatever opportunities are placed in front of you, you must contribute what you can to the whole in order for this congregation to continue to grow and to flourish. That's a part of our working together. It is important. Each contribution is valuable and necessary. And it's also important for there to be a funneling of those contributions, for there to be a goal. Again, going back to the book of Nehemiah, it's interesting that it begins in chapter 3 and verse 1 by talking about Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren and the priest and built the sheep gate. Well, then it talks about several other gates in verse 3, the fish gate. In verse 6, the old gate. In verse 13, the valley gate. And then the refuse gate. And then verse 26, the water gate, and then the horse gate in 28, then the east gate, and then in verse 32, where is it? In the sheep gate once again. You find that all of their contributions were connected to each other in order to make a whole. And if you look at the city of Jerusalem, the artist's depiction of this wall that was built, it is, how many walls is it? Yeah, 73 different individuals. Is it 73 walls? Plus different groups of individuals. How many walls is it? You have a variety of gates. How many walls is it? One wall. But all of the parts are connected together. In fact, if you look at the way this is laid out in chapter 3, you find that there is a counterclockwise connection as he goes through the list that begins with the sheep gate and ends with the sheep gate. So again, there is a cohesion here. There is a goal here. They were working together in order to accomplish one wall. We, as the church of the Lord, if you would jump to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, we are a temple. He uses a different figure here to help us to understand our relationship together. But notice how he talks about the Jews and the Gentiles. And he says in chapter 2 and verse 19 of Ephesians, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." As we pull ourselves together, as we are all these stones, these living stones placed upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets, we make up one house of God. And the goal of that is for God to dwell within us, for us to have a relationship with God. In chapter 4, the Apostle Paul goes back to the body illustration, and he says, verse 15 and 16, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, being joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." God dwells in us. We modify and we strengthen ourselves in this process, and we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a light to this world so that the purpose of God can be fulfilled. Yes, each contribution is toward one goal, But the last observation I would like to make is each must value the goal enough to put forth the effort. Let's go back to the book of Nehemiah. And we've already noted, which is our theme for this year, chapter 2 and verse 18, when Nehemiah says, I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he spoke to me, then they said, let us build up, rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. They faced opposition from the outside, opposition from the inside. But they say in chapter 4 and verse 6, so we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. It would have never happened if the people didn't care. Notice in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter, we have a dramatic event that takes place in the history of the developing church. The church was established in chapter 2. They grew, and they were working together. They were striving together to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and how God wants them to function together. But then Stephen was taken, and he was stoned. He was killed. A Christian was killed. And that changed everything. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Notice what they do in response. Verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. The church did not die that day, but they continued to grow. In fact, it popped up. There were local churches that popped up all over the world. Because why? Because they cared about the message. They cared about the salvation they had received. And they wanted to share that salvation with the people who were around them. If the people didn't care about the message of Jesus Christ, the church would have died right then. But it didn't die. It continued on. You know, one thing I've noticed with this war that's taking place in Ukraine, war is a terrible thing. Horrible things are happening. But just as way of illustration, one of the things that is remarkable is that the one side, the Russians, have bigger tanks, they have more people, they got more everything than the Ukrainians. But you know, they haven't fallen. Why? Why have the Ukrainian people, why have they not fallen? Is it because they've hired people to come and fight for them? Now, if they did that, they would have fallen already. People don't fight the same when they're hired to do it. Because they're fighting for their own homeland. They're fighting for their own identity. People fight when you start challenging them and what's valuable to them. Is the church valuable to us? Is what's happening here at Jordan Park valuable to me? We are the body of Christ. We are the church of the Lord. We are the temple of God. We are the kingdom of God. We are to work for, we are to fight for what is valuable to Jesus because it's valuable to each one of us. Yes, for us to work together, each one must value the goal enough to put forth the effort. We need to work together. So, maybe you noticed as you walked in, that the wall in the vestibule used to have a map up there. We took down the map, took down the bulletin board there, and we put up some paper that's right now a blank slate. We don't want it to stay blank. We also have some stones. So figuratively, the idea is, we're going to build us a wall so that each of these stones is going to be taped to this wall, and the end of the process is going to be, we are going to build a wall. Now, I'm not going to build a wall. We're not going to hire somebody to build a wall. But each of us is going to contribute so that this wall is built. So here's kind of the idea. There are a bunch of blank stones that are on some tables out there. And what I would encourage you to do as an individual, as a member of the body here at Jordan Park, that on occasion you take one of those stones. And I'd like for you to write on that stone something that you've done to contribute to the work here at Jordan Park. Now, a couple of suggestions. Number one, make all of your descriptions past tense. So this is not, I sure would like to be a better teacher someday in the future. Don't put that stone up there. Put the stone up there, I taught a Bible class. Well, leave the I off. Let's not have anything personal. Now, I know God had a bunch of, he had 73 names. But we're going to leave the names off. Because we don't want this to be personal, because we want this to be a body exercise. So, again, make it past tense, something that you have done to accomplish the work. And I've already made the first one. It says, designed, installed, wall. Because I wanted to say thank you to the ladies, to the member. There are a few members here who actually helped me out to put up this wall for us. So I'm gonna get some tape and I'm gonna put that at the foundation here of this wall afterward. And I'd like for you, every member, I would like every member. Throughout the, it doesn't have to be, this isn't a 52-day project. This is a 2022 and beyond project. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to contribute to this work. And it may be that you're already doing a lot of good things. Great. Write some of those down. Past tense. What you did, I did this. I taught a Bible class. I led in a prayer. Get rid of the I. Led in prayer. Taught Bible class, encouraged a brother that was weak, talked to a visitor, encouraged them to come back. All of the things that you are doing to contribute it, write it down, get some tape, stick it on the wall, and we are going to build a wall together. And the goal is to fill up that wall as an illustration of the many things that are taking place to build up the body of Christ. I would encourage you to challenge yourself. And also, there are going to be occasionally some challenges that are going to be put out. For example, we have a vacation Bible school that's coming up. There are going to be jobs that need to be filled. There are going to be a lot of, we put some shelves up in the storage areas. We need to have some people to take pictures of the things that have already been created and develop a database in order for us to be able to find those. It's going to take some workers if you have that capability. There are going to be some challenges that are going to be placed out, and so take advantage of that so that you might be able to contribute to the work here. Now, someone very graciously has made some lists of some examples, and that's an example of something you do. Even the young children, here are some things that you could do, that you could write in past tense after you've accomplished it. Some of the young children, to draw pictures or make cards and deliver them or mail to someone who is alone or needs encouragement. Make cookies with mom and give away to the sick ones or singles. Buy a small gift and deliver to a family with a new baby or a young child who is sick. Give high fives and hugs to make someone smile. Sit quietly during worship so mom and dad can listen. If you accomplish one of those or more, maybe mom and dad can help you write that on a stone and put it on the wall. Middle school and high school, write a card, copy a scripture, give or mail to encourage a brother or sister. Help mom make a meal and deliver it to someone who is sick or in need of help. Mow a lawn or rake leaves for an older member who needs help. Sit with someone who normally sits alone during worship. Volunteer to help a Bible class or VBS teacher cut out materials and make visual aids. Babysit for a young family so parents can have a date night. Contribute your money to help with the needs of overseas brethren. Talk to an older person or a child that you normally don't speak to. Write a letter to someone in the church who you look up to or admire and tell them that what they mean to you. Keep a journal of people who need prayers and pray for them. When someone misses Bible class or worship, text or call them and tell them that you miss them. Or to adults, go across the building, upstairs, downstairs, to speak to someone you don't normally cross paths with. Become a Bible correspondence course grader. Pass out meet-in announcements or other invites before special lectures, series, or singings. Choose a young person to encourage and let them know how much you appreciate him, her. Assist a Bible class or VBS teacher with material or visual aids, or build props. Observe who needs encouragement and go visit or write that person a letter or email. Organize a cleaning day at the building to clean and freshen the auditorium. Organize a work day to trim shrubs or trees outside the building congregation. Pray over the elders and deacons. Teach a class. Lead a prayer. Lead a song. Give an invitation. Read a scripture. Preach a sermon. Attend a men's group. Attend ladies' Bible class. Attend the men's retreat. Prepare the Lord's Supper. Invite a new family into your home. Have a singing into your home. Introduce yourself to a visitor. Introduce yourself to a neighbor. Go to a gospel meeting. If you want to do it as a family, there were some observations or suggestions about that. Give out meeting announcements in your neighborhood. Adopt an older couple or person to do and do secret good deeds for them throughout the year. Read a book from the Bible together. Invite a new family into your home. Go to a gospel meeting at another congregation. Clean house for new parents or someone who is sick. And I tell you, the list could go on and on and on. If you say, I can't contribute to the wall because I can't do anything, challenge yourself to find something to do. And even if you are very busy, I would encourage you, challenge yourself to step out and do something that you don't normally do. Write it on a stone, stick it on the wall. Because what we are trying to accomplish is for us, all of us, to rise up and build, all of us, to set all of our hands together so that the work of the Lord is accomplished. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to join us. Join us in the work of the Lord. We are a body. We love one another. We encourage one another. We help one another. And together we stand. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one by being born again into the family of God. To do so, you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins, because that's what the Bible teaches, to continue the process of growing under the Lord. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you are one, for some reason have drifted away, come back. We need you. Come as we stand and sing.